Thank you. I'm going to admit something a little embarrassing, but only because I'm going to tell a bunch of people. When I got the invite to come and do this reading from Chris and Joan, I let out a very loud squeal of joy. It's something I've been really excited about. So thank you both, Chris and Joan, for inviting me to be here tonight. Such a great lineup of readers, and I just feel really lucky to be here. I'm going to read a couple new poems, and then I'll read a couple from my newest poetry collection. The first one is called State Park. We sit on large rocks at the mouth of the glacier lake and watch your sons, now with adult features and questions, wrestle in the water as if the world wasn't waiting to weigh down their shoulders in the coming years. The solo wilderness guide in the hammock in her 20s asks us to take her photo as she stands in the lake, a smile on her face. This is Wyoming. We just finished a hike where the cone-bearing conifers grasped the earth and the lodgepole pines waited for future fires so their cones could open up and the fire extract seeds from its body. I wish that I had written this poem at Grand Teton National Park instead of my Pittsburgh home, that I could have said to you at that moment that this is a memory I will not forget. That, next to you, I am myself in Michigan, Tennessee, Pennsylvania, or Idaho. Next to you, I am a sister. After the sun fades, we pack the car. Your husband drives us out of the national park, and I sit in the back with my nephews. Grateful, the only word that fits, as we drive to our cabin down the road. The cabin where we ate fresh fruit in the morning, the cabin that bursts with something I call love, something I call family. My husband and I recently became homeowners, which has been so much fun. But good, a lot, but good. So this is titled Saturday Morning in Late February, the Pittsburgh edition. We bought this 123-year-old house, even though you could see the freeway from the front porch, even though the entire first floor and basement smelled like cat pee, because of the backyard. The hillside that meets our shared driveway is a tree-filled slope of land that, when seen from dining room windows, make you feel like you're not in this mid-sized city, but somewhere else. The two bucks that sleep under the tree behind the shed and the two groundhogs that move close to the ground only noticed when the plants and branches sway erratically in the afternoon. They are the reason. It was not the floors that were in bad shape, made only worse by the contractor who refinished them, the lead water pipe, the kitchen that is crowded with one person, let alone two. The retaining wall that budges, the shifting foundation. We bought this house for what? The American dream of security, ownership of something, the dream that appealed to our parents when mortgages cost a fraction of their salary and not the majority. We bought this home because when you want to adopt a child, living in a one-bedroom apartment isn't enough. Love isn't enough. Safety isn't enough. And we get it. A child needs their own room. A child deserves a place to go. A child should not only be loved, cared for, provided for, but should have a place to escape with walls that are strong and floors that hold them up. And parents who realize the difference between a house and a home. So we will not give up on the painted tub tile that peels, the DIY bathroom floor installed by previous owners unevenly, the peel-and-stick kitchen floor that has begun to curl at the square edges, or the plastic floor molding that leans away from the wall more each day as pieces of drywall behind it, this wall's corset, break off and gather at the ground. We will not give up on the unpainted walls, the sloped landing, the drafty windows, the busy front yard, the shabby furniture we've dragged from Michigan to Pennsylvania to North Carolina and back to Pittsburgh. We will not give up, even on the plumber who is 2 hours late. We will not give up. Thank you. All right, I'm going to read a couple from this. And this is the title poem from Home is a Sweater, titled Home is a Sweater. Michigan is a tight sweater snug around my chest and waist, the neckline a compression of home and the Great Lakes. In the summer, spun wool suffocates and icicles puncture lungs in the winter. The Detroit River, a rum running straight, slips up and down my left arm while one gold thread, sewn through my shoulder blade and right bicep, whips strings tightly around my back. The broken phonograph from my grandparents' attic wraps my spinal cord and squeezes until the music is finally heard. Thank you. And in honor of Sherry's Bear with a Heart story, I have a poem about a heart. So it's called Cross Section of a Heart. My heart is a red velvet couch encased in sugar, wrapped in red, gold, and green lights, candy apple coated to keep the strings and ache together. No control of contents, blood moves haphazardly through valves. Concentrated in one organ, the fear of misdirection and disease. Things you cannot wash away. When I was 13, I touched the outside layer of a sheep's heart with my index finger. The fibrous organ, gray from memory, the color of guilt. The right atrium where blood once passed looked cold and empty. No color present, just cardiac cells in need of heat or purpose. Enlarged, sporadic beats, anxious thumps are electrified in my chest. I think only of my heart in color as it pumps loud enough for myself to hear. Thank you. This next one is called Ancestry, and it's for my grandparents. If you unrolled my skin, the texture of raw crescent dough, beneath the bubbles of fat and pockets of cities, you would uncover my grandmother's. The scent of garlic and the image of a farm in rural Ohio, these are the forms my grandmothers take. The World War II nurse and the mother of my mother walk gently through my blood. Dissect my cornea, and beneath the glaucoma, the macular degeneration, are my grandfather's. The General Motors plant and Ford assembly line are my iris. The fishing boat and art museum are small pieces of metal, microscopic cuts in my pupil. Let's say none of this makes sense, except for the emotion of absence, by which there is too much. Thank you. I have two more. Speaking of my grandpa, who would take us to the art museum as kids with my grandma and would just complain about every piece of modern art while we were there. So it's surprising that I still love art, but it was a really good experience. So it's called Modern Art with Grandpa. My legally blind, Depression-era grandpa never liked modern art. He sneered at the black canvas with one white line that sat at the far end of the modern art museum. He despised the wall of televisions that played the national anthem at the top of the stairs and the floor-to-ceiling canvas painted entirely red. Still, he took me to the Detroit Institute of Arts Sundays after church and held my hand as we wandered from room to room. Room to room, trumpets and airy jazz lived in our footsteps. The smell of weak church coffee still on my grandfather's breath. The hall of medieval knights, the mark of the Industrial Revolution, Rivera, humanity. One humid Sunday, we became the particles of paint in the air, the sound of wet shoes on wooden floors, the large red canvas, the wall of televisions, became our heart. I just want to thank everybody again. This is a really wonderful crowd, and just to be here is really, really great. So thank you all so much. I'm going to end with a poem called The Burning of Trees, October 2017. I've moved to Pittsburgh 3 times, so I really love this place, and I'm here to stay now. But we had spent about 5 years in North Carolina, and so I wrote this down there when there were a lot of wildfires in the area. Before the election, before the people screamed, trees burned. They burned as if they already knew. Outside our kitchen window, the mountains cloaked in a white haze, a veil of ash, dead branches, and smoke of what used to stand tall is now black. Curled fronds fall and ignite. Scientists say that when a tree is sick, others will divert water and nutrients to the ill. Water is scarce, the ground an incinerator. Unearthed roots break, lose direction, natural highways hundreds of years old, cut off from one another. The fire in the mountains turned the morning sky a pale red. Children cannot go outside for recess, and the elderly must stay home. This is the routine for weeks. In months, our small backyard will once again be encased in trees, though this time by fewer and thinner. Blooms of branches will sprout from our forearms, but the deer, weary of the humans and their absent nature, will only show their eyes once we become aware. Thank you so much.